This is Refuge Church, where real life and real faith collide.
How many of us know people who have said, man, I wish there was something different in this town?
Refuge Church is located in Union, South Carolina. For more information, visit refugechurchunion.org.
So, to get started, let me say this to you. I like to use a lot of examples and stuff like that. So who's got a favorite Disney movie? I know you do. I know you do. What's your favorite Disney movie? Spit it out. What is it?
Moana.
My man. One brave man in the whole bunch, and he said Moana. Fair enough. Mine's Aladdin. I like Aladdin. Is anybody like Aladdin? The cartoon? Yeah? What about the live action? I love it. You know, that's one of the few movies that, like, hey, this live action version is just as good as the cartoon. Can I say that? Don't want you mad at me. I love it. Will Smith, it's whatever, but he did good in that one. Now, check this out. Check this out. The thing about Aladdin is, who remembers what happened? Aladdin goes into the cave. What do they call the cave? Cave of Wonders? I thought that's what it was. I was going to say she's a super fan, but that's you. I got you, Rob. He's an Aladdin super fan. Cave. He goes in the Cave of Wonders, he gets the lamp, and he rubs the lamp, and what happens? Genie comes out, and he grants Aladdin what?
3 wishes.
What if we were granted 3 wishes? And he told him, you can't ask for more wishes. That's off limits, right? Can't do that. But what would you ask for if you had 3 wishes? I put a few things down. I put money. I put fame. Who wants to be TikTok famous? I'm looking at you, George. You want to be TikTok famous? There's nothing wrong with that. Here's the problem with some of that stuff, though. What about peace? Like, if we had wishes, we'd wish for all kind of stuff, and nobody ever says peace. But don't you want peace? Think about it. Think about an area in your life that you don't have peace. You're missing it. We miss peace. What would happen if you wish for a bunch of money? Come on. What would happen? Whoa. Out of the mouths of children. Yes. You know, today when I was preparing this message and finishing it up, I want you to know I came up with all kinds of scenarios. Those were not in there. But thank you, because now I don't want to be rich. You got me freaked out. What about fame? I got news for y'all with TikTok stuff. There used to be this really cool thing called MySpace. So what was the other one? Vine? That was like your TikTok thing. All this stuff goes away. Whoever was famous 10 years ago ain't relevant today. Sometimes a year ago, sometimes 6 months ago. So fame fades away. Money can go away. What about health?
You're going to die eventually.
Eventually you're going to die. You're going to get sick again. See, a lot of times when we say, I would wish for these things, it's stuff that's going to eventually go away anyway. Right? It's temporary stuff. So what about peace? If you have your Bibles, let's go over to Isaiah 26, okay? Let me give you a little backstory here. Isaiah's talking to Israel, and he's telling them some stuff. A lot of his writings are like warnings. Like, there's bad stuff that's going to happen. You better be prepared. You better get ready, because he was trying to call them to repentance. Here's the problem. Y'all check this out. See if this sounds eerily familiar. Here's the problem. They weren't in war at the time. They weren't going through any bad stuff at the time. In fact, they were like living big. They were living large. Everything was good. The economy was good. Taking multiple vacations a year. Taking the boat to the lake. So Isaiah's saying there's stuff that's really weird, but he talks about other countries that are going to overtake you and overthrow you and put you in slavery. And they're going, what you talking about? Things are great. We're just going to go to Target and shop, right? That's what they're thinking. And it doesn't make sense. Well, let me read this to you. In that day, everyone in the land of Judah will sing this song. Our city is strong. We are surrounded by the walls of God's salvation. Open the gates to all who are righteous. Allow the faithful to enter. You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. Trust in the Lord always, for the Lord God is the eternal rock. Let me read that part again. You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. Trust in the Lord always. Now, let me ask you guys this. Who's got perfect peace in their heart and their life right now? Anybody gonna raise their hand? Because you'd be lying if you did, and so would I. We don't have perfect peace. But he says, let me read that again. God will keep in perfect peace everyone who trusts in him. I'm more familiar with imperfect peace. I'm familiar with the kind of peace that gets shaky. How about you? I'm good over here in my mental state, and then something happens in my life and it rocks my world. Now I'm depressed. I'm more familiar with imperfect peace. But this says he will keep us in perfect peace. If we're going to be different and we're really going to be what other people are wanting us to be and they're looking for this real relationship with God, we can't just slap the name church outside and still be like everybody. They got to see it. They got to see us live it out. And I want you to know there are times that I say, God, are you even listening to me? Do you hear me? And if you do hear me, do you even care anymore? Have you ever felt that way? You ever just felt forsaken by God? I'm being real. In the middle of this whole thing, sometimes y'all watch, it doesn't make sense. Sometimes we don't have the resources that we need. We talked about that earlier, Berkeley and I. Sometimes we don't have certain promises that people make and they don't keep, and things don't come through like we think they will. And there, you don't know how many times through the course of a week that I go, God, are you even listening to me? I want you to know something. God is big enough for you to say that. He can handle it. See, we don't say it out loud, but we think it in our heart. We think it in our minds. And God is big enough for that. But the truth of the matter is, we got to get past that, though, and say, okay, if there's perfect peace to be had in him, how do I get that perfect peace? Well, first, let's figure out what perfect peace is. I wrote down a few things. What it's not, what perfect peace is not, is the absence of trouble. Perfect peace is not no trouble. Perfect peace is not no problems. Perfect peace doesn't mean nothing breaks. Our car's broke down right now, our second car. It's been broke down for a while. It's Christmas. I could get it fixed, but I need all the extra cash I can get for Christmas. Y'all feel what I'm saying if your parents are in here? So it's like, you know what? We can put that on the back burner. We had a couple coming to church tonight, text me right before it was going to start and said, shit, I don't know why he sent me pictures. I guess he didn't want me to think he was lying. But he was like, look, car's broke. Perfect peace doesn't mean nothing ever breaks. Oh, I got something for y'all with kids. It doesn't mean that kids never fight. Do they fight? I don't know if they don't fight. I know you fight. I was thinking about you when I wrote that. Like, y'all fight. And here's the other thing. I told you I'd be transparent. It doesn't mean there's no marriage problems. So just a couple of nights ago, Casey and I had a little tiff. Can you believe that? She was wrong. It was her fault. No, it wasn't. It was just one of those things. We just had a little bump in the road. And we had a knockdown drag out. We had some words. Can I say that? I hope you don't. Oh, I want a pastor that doesn't have any problems. There's a bunch of them that'll lie to you, but I can't do that. I got problems. I'm human. Casey, bless her heart, she's human. We had a fight. We didn't talk the rest of the evening. We were mad at each other. But guess what I did today? I'm sorry, I don't want to be mad. And we made up and we repented. But the point is, where's the perfect peace of God in that? Doesn't that mean we'll never have a fight with my spouse or somebody or my friend? Doesn't it mean that we won't have issues? No, that's not what his perfect peace is. I don't know if this one's up there or not, but this is the key statement I want you guys to write down if you can. Peace isn't found in the absence of problems. True peace is found in the presence of God. Let me say it again. Peace is not found in the absence of problems. True peace is found in the presence of God. See, I think the issue with a lot of us is if I get enough money, well, let me back up. If I get this education, then I can have peace. And then you realize, as I'm talking to Berkeley over here, that, man, school will kick your backside. Am I correct on that? Amen. Ain't a lot of peace. But I get done with that, I'll get this job, and then I'll have peace. And then you realize people stab you in the back at your job. So you say, well, if I make enough money, I'll have peace. And then the government comes in and says, we need a little piece of that. You know what I mean? More money, more problems. Think about it. Well, if I get married, I'll have peace. If I have kids, I'll have peace. And we start to think, you know what? There's a lot of stuff that I look to have my peace in. And then sometimes the peace is not there. Sometimes it cracks. Peace is not the absence of problems. Peace is found in the presence of God. Now here's my question to you before I move on. Is God's presence in the middle of your problems good enough? Is it big enough? That's the question. That's when you really find out what the motives of your heart are. And I'm going to be very transparent once again. I told you I would be. Here goes another one for you. You ready? Sometimes I chase after things that's not God. Sometimes I disguise the things that I want and I desire in a very godly type of a bubble to make me feel good about my selfishness. Anybody else ever do that? I think you're being honest. I disguise it. Sometimes I feel like the things that I want, in and of themselves, they're of God, but I might have a selfish motive behind it. You ever thought about it? You ever had a war in your mind? Come on. You ever had a war in your mind? You ever had your mind telling you some things and playing some tricks on you and kind of flipping you out a little bit, and you start to focus on all the negative stuff and all the bad stuff and maybe stuff that's not ever going to happen, but you get it in your brain that the earth is going to open up and swallow up everything? I mean, think about it. Really, we get anxious. Casey does not like the interstate. I ain't picking on her, but just know that. If you go ask her, you shake your head, right? Am I lying? I'm lying, I'm dying. She does not like the interstate. Well, Jordan doesn't. Blows my mind. Because check this out. I have to find places that'll take me an hour out of the way to keep her off the interstate. Because it stresses her out. We get on the interstate, and she sees an 18-wheeler 5 miles down the road. Looks at this. Oh, my God. What if they have a tire blow? What if they fall over on us? And then it goes, I'm going to give you a little scenario. Then it goes like this. I'm coming up. I'm doing my thing. And she's like, stay away from them. Stay away from them. But sometimes they go slow. Sometimes I go fast. Bad combination. I get up on them. And then when I get up on them, she's like, go past them. Go past them. Hurry up. Okay. Then I hit it to the floor. Slow down. What are you doing? And it's like, you know, I can't win. And then I ask her, how many times have you just seen an 18-wheeler go bloop on top? Like, it doesn't really happen. But she gets it in her mind, right? Do you ever get so focused on something in your own mind, whether it's realistic or not, and it begins to control your thoughts, control, and it's anxiety? Y'all see where I'm coming from? It starts in the mind. Back in verse 3, it says, you'll keep in perfect peace all who trust in you. And this is the key part. All those, or all whose thoughts are fixed on you. If you got your Bible, you want to make a note, underline that part, fixed. What are you fixing your mind on? That word fixed literally means, and I looked this thing up, and I'm not a big, you know, Hebrew guy or whatever, but I looked this up, and it literally means to lean on completely and to fully rest on. Like lean on completely, fully rest on. He is saying lean on completely. Me. Fully rest on me. Fix your mind on me. So you got to put those together. You will keep in perfect peace all who trust you and all whose thoughts are completely fixed on you. Isn't that something? What are we fixing our minds on? Some of us got our minds fixed on the news. CNN or Fox, whichever you pick your poison. Some of us have our minds fixed on our money and our finances. Some of us have our minds fixed on medical problems. And here's what I mean by that. Medical problems that exist, and sometimes medical problems that don't exist, but they might happen. I went through this season of anxiety, and I talked to a friend of mine, and I told him about it. I said, man, I'm just struggling and dealing with this stuff, and it's real. I said, dude, it's like waking me up. My heart's beating out of my chest. Like I'm overtaken, and I've never been that guy before. He said, what are you worried about? And y'all watch. This is harsh, but it's true. I said, man, I'm worried that my kids might get hurt or die. And he said one of the harshest things in the world anybody's ever said. He said, what if they do? You can't stop it. I have to trust the one that can control the outcome, not me. I can't control it. It's a training. So how do we fix our eyes on them? How do we fix our mind on them? How do we do that? Well, you just got to believe what he says. Do you believe his promises are true? Do you believe what he says that he's going to fulfill? Do you believe that he's good? Now, here's where it gets real weird, right? We have people that come to church. We have people that'll listen to music and do all this stuff, right? And they go, I can't really trust his promises. And all I go is, do you read his promises? Do you study? Do you know what he's promised you so that you can trust it? You got to know his word. And people say, how do I know God's will? How do I know God's heart? Know his word. It's unfailing. And I started to realize when he said in this, I'll keep you in perfect peace. I trust that. I can hang my hat on that. I believe that. I'll build my life on what you said, what you promised. Not what my anxiety tells me, not what my depression tells me, not what my situation tells me in the moment. I'll build my life on what you say that goes way past all that stuff. I'm not telling you this is a quick fix. What I am telling you is if we're going to fix our eyes on him and fix our mind on him, it's a daily grind. We got to do it. We got to do it. Some days it's easy. Some days it ain't easy, but we got to do it. So I'm going to finish up with this. Matthew 8. See, I couldn't see. I was looking at Matthew 5. Let's go to Matthew 8, 23. So the guys are on a boat crossing the Sea of Galilee, I do believe. And this is what it says. It says, and Jesus got into the boat and started across the lake with his disciples. Suddenly a fierce storm struck the lake with waves breaking into the boat. But Jesus was sleeping, taking a nap. The disciples went and woke him up and they shouted, Lord, save us. We're going to drown. And Jesus responded, why are you afraid? You have so little faith. He got up and rebuked the wind and waves, and suddenly there was a great calm. And let me paraphrase it for you. These experienced sailors and fishermen who have seen a lot of storms are on a boat, and a storm comes up. Nothing new. Nothing out of the ordinary. But what was it about this storm that was so bad that these experienced sailors said, we're going to die? It must have been a bad storm. Can we agree on that part? Bad storm. And what's Jesus doing? Taking a nap. And he said, man, don't you care that we're going to die? Stop and think about it. What does Jesus do? He gets up and he says, why are you afraid? You have so little faith. And then he gets up and says, peace, be still, you know, and all that stuff. Here's what I want you to stop and think about. They freak out. He's taking a nap. And there's two storms going on. There's the one on the outside and there's the one on the inside of them. Those are the two storms. There's two of them. We only read about one, but there's two because they're freaking out. So if they're upset, there's two storms. And Jesus asked a crazy question. Why are you afraid? Why do you have such little faith? Well, because this storm is so bad, we're thinking we're about to die, right? Like, it's pretty obvious. What was Jesus saying? I'm here. I'm your peace. I'm the peace that passes all understanding. I'm the one that has the power of life and death in my hands. I'm the one that controls everything, and I'm right here with you. That should be enough. I'm with you. Here's the funny thing. Jesus got into the boat and started across the lake with his disciples. He knew the storm was coming. He gets into the boat. They set out to go across the lake. And don't you know that Jesus knew what they were about to sail right into? And isn't it funny? Why didn't Jesus say, hey, fellas, I know y'all think this is crazy, but hook a left. I know y'all think I'm nuts, but look, we need to go on back and wait for this thing to pass over. But he didn't. He said, let's go. Let's go right into the middle of it. Because he was with them. I think that's pretty crazy myself. But he is saying, I'm right here with you. There's not anything you'll go through that I won't go through with you. There's not any place you can go that I will leave you alone or by yourself. I will be with you. And I know some of y'all are thinking, how can you say that? Well, because I've lived it. Y'all hear me when I say this. I've lived it. I've been in the places where I was like, I can't. It hurts to take my next breath. I've been in the place where I cry myself to sleep every night and I'm angry because I woke up and didn't die. I've been in some very dark places. And he was my peace. And he got me through it. And y'all hear me. I'm not telling you that it didn't hurt. It hurt. I'm not telling you that it wasn't painful. It was so painful. I'm not telling you there weren't days that I didn't beg God to just let this thing be done. It's so heavy. But he was with me. And I'm out on the other side telling you there's hope. There's hope. And I'm not telling you a theory I heard in school. I'm telling you a fact that I've lived. And why would God want to do that for you? Why would Jesus want to walk through these things with you and come out on the other side and you recognize him as the ultimate source of perfect peace so you can tell somebody? Because they're looking for peace in all these other areas. It keeps letting them down. And you can say, you want real peace? You want perfect peace? I can hook you up. But I got to tell you, the world and a lot of churchgoers are not going to believe what you say, but they will believe what they see. They'll believe the experience, because that's real. I'll end with this. Philippians 6 through 7. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all that he's done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Hey, Paul, that's easy for you to say.
You're the apostle. You're writing all these letters to the church that become the Bible light. It's easy for you to say, Paul, but you don't know what I'm going through, Paul. I've got some marriage problems. I've got some finance problems. I got this and that and this and that. You know what, Paul, if we were back in time when he wrote this letter, when he wrote this one verse right here, you know what he would say to you? You're right, man. That's tough. What you're living through right now, that's really, really hard. Hey, but we got to make this conversation quick because I'm about to be brought up before the Roman council tomorrow morning and they're going to behead me in front of everybody. So we got to make it quick because I'm about to die. My problems would seem this big. Because Paul is saying, I'm living what I believe. I am telling you that from a Roman prison about to be executed, his peace will guard your heart and your mind. You can't fake that. You can't fake that kind of peace. You can't fake that kind of reassurance. You either have it or you don't. You've either experienced it or you haven't. We're going to stand up in just a moment. Berkeley's going to lead us in some more worship. And if you don't know what we do, we have communion back there. Juice represents the blood. Little wafers, they represent the body. It's not a ritualistic thing. It's not a spooky thing. It is saying that every time we come together as believers, we will remember what he did on that cross when he shed his blood. We'll remember what he did on that cross when his body was beaten and nailed. Why? Because of that, we have access to God. Because of that, we have perfect peace. Maybe you just need to take communion tonight. And as you take it, just think, just reflect and say, Lord, not only do I thank you for what you did and the sacrifice, but God, I need the peace that you had. The night that you were arrested and you said, I'm leaving you my peace, I need your peace. Maybe you can experience it. You stand up and I'm going to pray for us. And then as you want to take communion, just go back there and get bread and juice. And Father, I thank you so very much for your peace. I thank you so much for perfect peace that passes understanding. That's what makes it perfect. It doesn't eliminate our problems. Our peace is not the absence of our problems, but it's your presence. Just like on the boat, your presence was the peace that they needed. They didn't even get it. I pray, God, that as we're going through all these things, myself included, that you'll just pause us for a moment and just give us a moment to step back and go, man, I might be going through some bad situations, but I'm not alone. I might be facing some uphill battles, but Jesus is going through those things with me. And he'll never leave me. He'll never forsake me. Let us believe it. If there's somebody in this place that does not know you, they've not placed their faith in you, let tonight be the night they put their faith in you and they take communion as a born-again believer, a son and a daughter of Jesus. I pray that you do these things in this place and in these hearts. In Jesus' name.
The proceeding was recorded live at Refuge Church located in Union, South Carolina. For more information, visit refugechurchunion.org. Thank you for listening.